Happy New Year again. We have a wonderful watch night service. I think we have about 150 people. Some have gone home hungry, but we were very satisfied with the good turnout, and we enjoy the sharing. At that night, we actually shared about the church vision. Can you put the goals of the place, please? Now, as a church, the leaders actually, few years ago, have hammered out a vision statement. It is on the wall everywhere, I think, but hardly we know it. Can we read it together, the vision statement of the church? Is it that? Yeah. Can we read together, please? Okay, we are supposed to be loving, caring, witnessing, and discipling church, right? That's what we are supposed to be. Now, this is just on the wall, but we'd like to you to look at it. What do we mean by that this year? Can you put it on again? Yeah, I think we need to go deeper into the Lord this year. And these are some of the things that we encourage all of us to commit ourselves to. The next slide, please. Yeah, going deeper into personal worship and corporate worship. I'm glad you are here this morning. We hope to strengthen this area of our life as a church, as an individual. In personal prayer and corporate prayer, the church have printed a prayer prayer little booklet. If you have not got one yet, I believe should have enough outside for everybody. You can take it home and use it as a prayer guide for you on a daily basis. And we also have ABC, a regular Bible study, going on 8:30 in the morning. Right now, today is the first day we have started. If you have not registered yourself, we also encourage you to be part of this group. And then a care group. One of the basic things is that we have discovered more than 50% of our people are not in a care group. If you are in a care group, not in a care group, it's hard to care for you. So we encourage you to join one group so that we can learn to love you, care for you, and help you to grow in the Lord, edifying one another. Huh? We will not embarrass you in the group, but more so helping all of us to know you so that we can care for you. Right now, we have 20 active groups. That's the latest, right? And we hope this coming this year, not coming year, already here, we hope to add on another 10 new groups. Meaning that there are a lot of 50% of the church are not in, you know, should be 40 groups, but we don't have that much faith. But I love faith. Stretch a little bit to 10 more. If your area, you don't have a group, we urge you to open your home. You don't have to lead. We will find someone to lead. Or you like to lead, I encourage those who are already in a home group. You have been very experienced in the group for a long time. We hope you will say, yeah, I can lead a group. We want to invite you to do that. Now, to do this, we need to do something. We need to commit ourselves to a lifestyle. Huh? A lifestyle of reading the Bible. We also have printed Proverbs. Have you got one yet? You have not got one. It's free. It's outside there. Read a chapter a day, and as the Lord speaks to you during the week, and especially during your care group, you can share your gleanings from your own reading or the Lord has been speaking to you. But inside the booklet, we have two little things inside. Are you aware of that? One bookmark and another? I've received two so far. We are looking for you to fill in five names. This is the first one we have full. Yesterday I have one, have three names, doesn't matter. Even one name, if you can have, you know, to pray for someone, maybe member of your family who do not know Jesus, or your friends or your colleague. We hope that 200 people will return back, at least. We have about 400 to 500 people on a Sunday and Saturday add together. 200 is very little. I hope everyone can give. My goal is to look for 200 names at least that we can pray, we can intentionally visit and follow up these names. Not just for show, but we will seriously pray And those of you given us names, perhaps you can take us to these homes. We will want to do that. Not only the pastors, but we hope all of us can learn to pray, because we are a what type of church? What is that? Not that. That's the first two, huh? Evangelism, huh? We always forget that, huh? So we like to be a church that constantly leading people to know Jesus Christ. Yeah, praying personally as well corporately. The third Sunday is our corporate prayer Sunday. You come and join us. We have now about 60, is that right, Elder Brian? We hope to target to 100. Again, it's a very small number, 100. We hope you will join us. Every Saturday, Monday, we have prayer meetings, and Sunday, Wednesday also. Saturday, we have about 30 to 40. We hope you can come at 8:30 to join us in the prayer meeting. Join a Bible study, I already said that. Be part of a care group, and so on. So these are some goals that we like you to commit. Now, many of us must have breakfast this morning. How many of you have taken eggs this morning? Eggs and bacon, they say, huh? Do you know the difference between the chicken and the pig? The chicken actually is just involved. I just lay an egg and put it into the offering bag. Huh? I think all of you do that this morning. But bacon is quite different. Huh? The pig, what does a pig have to do? Have to die. That is what commitment is all about. Huh? So I'm calling for commitment this year. Not be a pig lazy, but give your life to Jesus in that sense. Commit yourself to do these very basic things. You will see what God will do in your own life. It will change your life tremendously. I guarantee that. God, in some way, when you honor Him, He will honor you. I want to thank God for this first worship of the year and first worship of the decade. Yeah, certainly God is going to do something special for us as a body of Christ meeting out here. First thing first, I think first is worshiping God. To me, that is the one and only thing that is top priority, worshiping God. Since we have started this booklet, Rosie and I have committed together to pray every day for different things, and we read the Proverbs together. Today, she's not too well. Normally, she likes to sit with me. She couldn't come. But she said, let us read the scripture. We read Proverbs, we prayed. And then I come to church. I find that a lot of us, husband and wife, don't pray together, do we? We are Christians, but we don't pray together. Huh? I challenge you, try praying together. Praying together as husband and wife. Praying together as a family. This is something that's very beautiful. I learned this from my home. Every Friday, my dad and mom will gather us together as a family, worshiping God for more than an hour. Huh? Children will lead in songs. We take turns to do that. Dad is still the person who is the spiritual leader, who preach, who teach, and then we pray together and we have supper together before we call it a night on Friday. I grew up in that type of circumstances until at the age of 21, I left home. That has great impact in my own life. Is there a family that pray together, sticks together? Huh? I think many of our homes today are breaking up. Huh? Basically, we don't hold God in our home. So I encourage that all of us will begin a day, huh, or any time of the day you want, that your family can get together, that you can pray together to worship God. This morning, I'd like to turn your attention to a very important passage of scripture. Often we miss out that. It's called a minor prophet. He is not minor at all, but he is very contemporary. His name is Malachi. I used to pronounce in Cantonese, it sounds like Malaikai Shi. When I was young, I'm not Chinese educated, but it sounds that way to me. Malaikai Shi, Malaikai Shi is actually. Very little, we don't know much about him. This morning, I'd like us to look at that on this topic. Is God pleased with your worship? Not very nice sounding. I know that many of you are not pleased with a church worship. There are people who left the church because well, I don't like the way you sing. I don't like the way you all preach. I don't like this, don't like that. Therefore, you know, bye-bye. I don't want your church. I often hear people, you know, who left the church that they don't like the worship service. There are many things that you can talk about it, but it's about me worship, you see. But the songs that we have just sung this morning, thank you, Chi-Sing, you have chosen a beautiful, appropriate song to the title. Worship, who is in the center? Jesus is the center. But somehow, it's not true, you know. We may sing all these lovely songs, but certainly worship is not center of our life about Jesus. It's about me, you know. There are a lot of things that you are not happy about Jesus, worship. But let's look at the scripture. Why, you know, the prophet actually bring the people back to the reality of worship. What is really worship? What type of worship God accepts? What type of worship God actually rejects, you know? I think we need to take this seriously. I think we will not do justice if we do not read the scripture as to how Malachi actually questioned the pastors, the leaders of his day. They call priests, you know, and Levites, you know. But today we call pastors. We are the troublemakers sometimes, you know. We don't lead you properly. That's why you got into trouble, huh? And of course, we get into trouble too, you know. So forgive us. There are times that we don't behave ourselves. We don't lead you properly. But let's go back to the scripture today and ask God to help us. What type of worship that pleases God? Does it matter how we worship God? Are you just going through the motions of worship? Worship becomes just a routine coming in and out? Yeah, let's look at the background of this passage of scripture. A little is known about Malachi, except his name, you know, he's called a messenger. But the Jews actually have returned back from exile in Persia after 70 years of exile. And when they came back, they started rebuilding the wall, rebuilding the temple. They reinstitute the type of worship that is pleasing to God. But when the time that they came home, you see, about this time when the scripture is being written by Malachi, this is sometime 100 years later. Time passes by very fast, isn't it? Just like, you know, twinkling of an eye, one decade is gone, you know. One decade is gone, and we are now beginning. And one decade, actually, a lot of things can happen. In my own situation, it's just like Malachi, you know. My dad and mom come to know the Lord through a goldsmith, you know, and changes their life, and they share Christ with us. And we have children now, we have grandchildren. Well, the third generation, already I'm quite concerned. You know, all of us, five brothers and sisters, all of us are married. My mom has 15 grandchildren. Out of these 15 grandchildren, I've already seen three of our nephews and nieces willing to drop out of church. It concerns me. Very fast. Very fast. Now, at the time when Malachi was writing to these people, they actually prophesied that, you know, when you return home, God is going to bless and God is going to prosper all of you. But after waiting for 100 years, you know, that didn't happen, you see. So the people began to question, you know, what's the use of worshiping God? You know, it's just like many of us. You know, I've been so faithful to God. I've done all that God wants me to do. Look at me, you know. I'm still in trouble, huh? Is it worth to worship God, huh? Is it worthwhile to worship Him? And then people begin to change. We begin to doubt, you know. Our faith began to waver. In fact, over the years as a pastor, I find it the most difficult people to work with in the church are people when they were young, they were so actively serving God, loving God, doing all the things for God. But as they grow older, you see, somehow their love for God has gone cold. You know, worship become a routine. A commitment is no more commitment there anymore, huh? Doesn't that sound like a marriage sometimes? When you get married, you know, we are so, you know, loving, huh? But after a year or two, you know, our love wanes and we get cold, huh? And a little bit longer, you see, actually, we part, actually. Now, there are many situations like that in the church when I try to visit these people. It's very difficult. In fact, I find it's easier to bring a new Christian to bring a Christian like this back, you know. You spend a lot of time, but you see hardly any changes. But yet, we still continue to pray, to hope, and to work with situations like that. But I thank God some people do respond. But Malachi was in that type of situation. And people, after a long time, you see, when their heart gone cold, you see, they become callous, they don't honor each other anymore, they don't honor God, they don't respect God, and worship, especially. This is where Malachi comes from today, speaking to the priests, the elders of the church at that time. Malachi wanted to restore the genuine worship of God based on a true relationship of God. Yeah, I'd like to read to you this passage of scripture. My English is terrible. Huh? I speak Jonglish, actually. Allow me to read a very modern paraphrased Bible called The Message. I think you can understand it much easier. Interestingly, the person who paraphrased this Bible entitled this way, you know, no more of this so-called worship. Is our worship so-called worship? What is real worship? Let's listen to the word of God. God said, the first verse he said, a messenger, God's word to Israel through Malachi. God said, I love you. You replied, really? How have you loved us? Look at history, this is God answering. Look at how different I have treated Jacob from Esau. I loved Jacob and hated Esau. I reduced pretentious Esau to a molehill, turned his whole country into a ghost town. When Edom and Esau said, we have been knocked down, but we will get up and start all over, good as new. God of the angel army said, just tried it and see how far you get. When I knock you down, you stay down. People will take one look at you and say, land of evil and the God cursed tribe. Verse 5. Take a good look. Then you will see how faithfully I have loved you, and you want even more, saying, may God be even greater beyond the borders of Israel. Isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his master? So I am your father. Where's the honor? I'm your master. Where is the respect? God of the angel armies is calling you on the carpet. You priests despise me. You say, not so. How do we despise you? By your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. You ask, what do you mean defiling? What's defiling about it? Verse 7. And when you say the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer a priority, that's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals for sacrifices in worship, animals that you are trying to get rid of, blind and sick, crippled animals, isn't that defiling? Try a trick like that with your banker or your senator. How far do you think it will get you? God of the angel armies asks you. Get on your knees and pray that I will be gracious to you. You priests have forgotten everyone, gotten everyone in trouble. With this kind of conduct, do you think I will pay attention to you? God of the armies, angel armies asks you. Why doesn't one of you just shut the temple doors and lock them? Then none of you can get in and play at religion with this silly, empty-headed worship. I'm not pleased. The God of the angel armies is not pleased. And I don't want any more of this so-called worship. Verse 11. I'm honored all over the world. And there are people who know how to worship me all over the world, who honor me by bringing their best to me. They are saying it everywhere. God is greater, this God of the angel armies. All except you. Instead of honoring me, you profane me. You profane me when you say worship is not important, and why and what we bring to worship is of no account. And when you say, I am bored, this doesn't do anything for me. You exo superior, sticking to your nose in the air, ex superior to me, God of the angel armies. And when you do offer something to me, it is hand me down or broken or useless. Do you think I'm going to accept it? This is God speaking to you. A curse on the person who makes a big show of doing something great for me, an expensive sacrifice, say, and then at last minute it brings puny and worthless. I am a great king, God of the angel armies, honor far and wide, and I will not put up with this. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning with humility and respect for you. Lord, there are times that we are so flippant with our ways with you in worship. Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, this morning as we listen to your word, may your Holy Spirit quicken our hearts and allow us to catch a fresh glimpse of who you are, the great and mighty God. Help us to come with that type of mindset to worship you. Lord, we know that there are a lot of things that we are doing you are not approved of. Our attitudes, our ways, our callousness. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to change our ways as we begin this new year. That we'll put you first and give you best in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin by looking at some of the things God actually rejects some of the ways of the people then. You know, what are some of the things that God rejects when we worship him? Well, in fact, godless worship. The people here worship God, you see, but fail to see or recognize the greatness of God. The writer said, you know, everywhere around them, have seen the greatness of the God of Israel. The God of Israel have taken them out from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and went into Canaan. But yet, God's own people don't seem to recognize that. Yeah, when we come to worship God, do you recognize the greatness of God? This is the first thing that God rejects, worship that not recognize him as God. Secondly, worship that offer worthless gifts, that despise God, God's name. That's the second thing, is that the first one is a godless worship. The second you can see is a costless worship. Now here, from verse 1 to 6, you talk about the prophet actually was telling the people, the gifts that you bring to him, you see, is something that is blemish. Not good, not even good for the market. But then we bring before God. Israel, the Jewish people are very smart in business, right? Right? They are the best businessmen in the world. They know how to count, they know how to make money. Even with God, you see, the priests become corrupted. So in the Old Testament, as far as the law is concerned, the Torah taught them, you know, you must bring animals worshiping God, perfect, nothing but perfect animals, you see, before God. But somehow, you know, times lapse, people have forgotten that, you see. To make more money at this time of Nehemiah's, you know, money was short, just like we are in now today. We try to scrape every cent that we can. So they give the best, not to God, but use it for business, you see. But the blind, the lame, you know, people don't want in the market, they bring it to God. After all, it's just burn it up. It's a, what a waste. Huh? And that's what Prophet Nehemiah is complaining about the people. We give the leftover to God. Huh? The third thing is that the way we worship God that God rejects, worship that has become a ritual. The scripture said, you know, the people, verse 13, say their fine worship is boring. Huh? Now, how do you know his worship is boring to you? Huh? If I talk a little bit longer, I will know, huh? Because you will start looking at your watch. You are telling me, Pastor, you know, the first one is my wife. That's why she always sit in front, you know. When I see her looking at watch, you have overgone your time. My wife is my timekeeper. Yeah, when you like, you know, start, you know, taking out your telephone and you start messaging your friend or your family, you know, when are we going to meet for lunch afterwards? That's where boring starts, right? Interesting, pastor have eyes at the back too, not only in the front. Yeah. Yeah, that's where you say you find, worship become meaningless. Not only godless, costless, but worship become meaningless to us anymore. I think this happened to us today, you know. Not only in the time of Malachi. Huh? It's very interesting. John Piper says, you see, the essence of worship is, the essence of callous worship is empty religious activity. It doesn't express the worth of God. Huh? Worship, worthy of worship. Huh? Worthy of worship. You pay a price to worship. Do we do that? Huh? Worship, what about worship that pleases God? That's the other aspect of it. True worship, we must put God first as the top priority. We offer Him the best. That's what true worship is all about. Not the leftovers, huh? The things that you don't want. Huh? A leftover time, that's again here. Many of us, we don't start with God in the day, but we like to put Him at the end of the day when I still have time. That's why a lot of people say reading the scripture put me to sleep, right? No need to buy sleeping pills, save some money. Read the Bible at night, you will sleep faster. Yeah. Priority. What is priority? You give Him first place, that's what it is. Don't give Him the last, first place. We actually betray ourselves all the time. Many of us are parents. I've gone through this. Very challenging times, bringing up two girls when they were young. There are a lot of conflicting things, you know, with church and school during that time. I think today is also true, huh? Have you ever struggled with, if there is something on in the school that is very important, even tuition for that matter, and there's conflict with the time of Sunday school? Parents, how do we make decision? And I've even heard people that, you know, they are taking Form 3, Form 5, or SPR, or PSF, whatever exam, you know. You excuse my son from coming to church during this period so that he can study, huh? I wonder what type of messages we are sending to our children. Where's the priority, how we are talking about? Is God still in priority? Or you're afraid that, you know, if I give God the time first, you know, other things will be terrible, huh? I don't believe so. When you put God first, you see, other things will fall in place, huh? It doesn't matter, it's matters of money or a position or whatever you have. God actually, when true worship, you see, must come from the heart. Huh? That's what is important. True worship, we must only put God first. It must be a feeling of awe, huh, in the presence of God. The majesty and greatness that causes us to prostrate before Him. Huh? The Muslim actually have all the right outward expression of worship. Have you seen the Muslim, how they worship? They bow down, they put up their hands, you know. Well, that's really, you know, a true outward expression of worship. But somehow Christian, we have taken it very flippantly. Huh? We actually saunter into church whenever I want, you know. In fact, if you take a study of the pattern of people coming to church, it takes about 15 to 20 minutes to fill up the regular number of people in the church. You stand up here, it's quite frightening sometimes, you know, it's all empty here. You always start from the back. Very interesting, Baptist, is it Baptist actually? We always start from the back, you see. And then gradually it fills up. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes. That's why he said, you know, where's my honor? Where's my respect? And I use the simple example, you know, if I am your father, if I am your master, where is my honor? Where is my respect? How do you treat God, actually? That's the question. How do you treat him? I think recently in a court case where our former prime minister came late in court, you remember? The judge told the lawyer, you know, don't make this, don't happen again. Slightly late only, a few minutes, but was reprimanded. How do we come before this majestic God? Do you saunter in when you want, where you like? I challenge you to be on time when you come to worship God. All of us. When you set your time daily to meet God, you know, I want you too also to keep that commitment with God. It's something has to be done deliberately and intentionally, not when you are convenient. Well, that's where putting God first, you see, honoring Him means that, if He's great and mighty God, you know, we have to, He is above all else. That's what the song we have been singing, right? If He is above all else, you see, how come our action actually do just the contrary? Normally, we just, you know, put Him the last. I think we need to search our heart again this morning as we begin the new year. Change our ways. I beg you and plead with you. Put Him first. And true worship must be honest and spiritual. Worship must put, the worship must put their hearts into it and offer to God the best that we have, the best that we can. Yeah, this is something, again, worship is not just sitting down here. But worship is our heart connected with God. It's our spirit with Him. The New Testament, of course, talks about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The Old Testament, again here, that actually came from Jesus. Only talk about worship in that chapter 4 of John, verses 23 and 24, or 25. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and I said, you know, well, we worship God in, you worship in Jerusalem, we worship in Gerizim. But Jesus said, you know, now, no, not the place that is so important, but it's the, what's that? Worship in truth and spirit. Yeah, the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Do you have the truth in you? Worship is not just based on emotion per se. I do go into YouTube to observe different types of worship, trying to learn from people. But I've seen some worship is quite fantastic. You know, the pastor just strike his hand. The whole congregation fell behind. You know, have you seen that? But I beg the difference. I don't see any Bible example of that. Old Testament, New Testament, I haven't found any example. Yeah, I don't think that is the type of worship God is talking about. Yeah, what is true worship? The true worship, the worshiper must be true to the Word of God. We must be true to ourselves, you know. We must be true to what we are doing. In other words, the word is genuine. Is your worship, you worship God with integrity or just a show, you know? How do we worship God? Is this a show we are acting here? In fact, in worship, we only for one person. God is the one. He is the only audience in worship. For Him alone. For Him alone. So when we need to search our heart, you see, when we worship, is my worship genuine? If it is, you see, then we will do something very different. Our spirit will connect with him, you see. Christian, when you become a child of God, the Spirit of God is in you. And when we worship God in spirit, that spirit actually commune with each other. We have the body that encased, you know, all the things inside, but part of that body have the Spirit of God, you see. When we worship, our spirit actually communicates with God. He leads, he guides, you know, he directs all our action. Yeah, we need to worship him in that way. It's not important the place or the type of songs he's singing. Certainly, we need to choose songs. Thank you for choosing songs very carefully that are aligned with the message and true to the Word of God, nice sounding. This is all wonderful, you know. But there are a lot of worship places that I've been as a pastor. For 17 years, I worked in the jungle of Borneo. They have no piano, no organ, no electricity, nothing, you know. They just sing, you know. Oftentimes, they sing out of tune, but I tell you, they truly worship God, And the presence of God is there. So it's not so much the environment that we worship in, but more so the heart that is in God when you worship him. And your spirit continue to communicate with him. But in true worship, you also need to... I have one more. In true worship, you need to know the object of your worship. Who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? Do you know the person whom you worship? Worthy of your worship. The more you know God, the better you know how to worship him. Now, how do we know God, you see? I think 99% you know God through the Word of God. That's why Bible study is so important. Daily devotion is so important. Where we can learn who God is. Right now, I'm trying to learn going back to the different names of God, for example. Different names of God actually tells us different aspects of God, you know. And I try to turn it into a prayer to God, you know. I have a brother's name, is Jairai, you know, for example. In Chinese, it's Yi Le, Ye Hua Yi Le. My name is Yi Sa. The Chinese like to have the one word in common about the... And I have a last brother's name is Yi Tong, means walking with God, you see. Do you know Jairai? What does it mean? I'm sure you know. God provide. Yeah, that brother was born during difficult times, and my dad somehow gave him that name, you know. That this child, you know, I know that God is going to provide for everything. Isaac means, you know, in his own idea, the old man have a son, you know. I want to give to God this son, you know. Then the last son is that, you know, he will continue to walk with God. Beautiful names. Names are very important. Yes, the name of God is the same, you see. How well do you know him? I think I challenge you to daily feast upon the Word of God. The better you know him, the better you know how to worship him. It's just like husband and wife, you know. The better you know each other, the better you know how to move together around. I like to see Mr. and Mrs. Liu sitting down there, you know, lovely hair, you know. They have been married how many years already? Long time. Don't tell me the date. Maybe not as long as I am. I'm married 47 years. Still learning how to love each other, walking together. But the longer you know God, should be the sweeter it be. I hope with our marriages, the longer you know each other, the sweeter it will be. Yeah, learn to do that with God. That's what God would please if you... Then true worship, we talks about here, true worship talks about reverence and respect. You know, the prophet here actually was not happy with the people. They don't respect God at all, you see. Giving blemished things to God. I'm not sure how do you give to God. The Bible, Old Testament, talks about the tithes. There are a lot of pastors say, well, this Old Testament, New Testament actually don't talk about that anymore. But the New Testament talks about offering, right? As far as I understand, you know, offering is above the tithe. Offering, and then the tithe, and you add on above your 10% is offering. That's what I do. And my belief is that every year, God helped me to increase my giving. I've never gone lower, but every year I ask God for the ability that I can give more, not less. A lot of excuse to give less, you know, a lot of medical bills. There are a lot more, you're not earning, you know. Well, I should go down on my offering. But somehow, I don't believe that. I somehow believe that, you know, God wants us to learn to respect Him more, love Him more. No age. The Bible didn't talk about age. You know, the Bible talked about the heart. The better you know Him, the better you want to serve Him. Show Him respect. A lot of things that we need to show Him respect. By keeping our commitment. That's respect, right? He even used a very simple example. You don't do that with your local monthly bazaar. If you make an appointment with him, you know, you'll be there waiting for him and not he waiting for you, right? That's what he says here, you know. Isn't it? A commitment means, you know, you promise something, you deliver. That's what his commitment is all about. Not say something, you know, sorry, a pastor, you know. Sometimes I'm very discouraged when a lot of people promise this, but they don't deliver. One of the hardest things in my own experience working overseas is that trusting the wrong people. It really make me cry, I tell you. A lot of projects all over the region here, big and small projects, you know. But we do have failures, by the way, due to people who don't honor their commitment. We reverence and respect means that whatever you commit to God, you want to follow through. That's why at baptism, I like to ask, you know, are you willing to follow Him all the days of your life? It's not just for the moment, but becoming a Christian is everyday walking through life. Honor actually literally means, you see, heavy, the idea to honor God. Something, when you honor a person, he is a weighty, or he has a heavy weight in your life. It's just like your father, you see. When he says something, you want to listen to him, you see. Because what he says, he carry weights. That is what it is. So when you honor God, you say, does God's word carry weight in your life? Or you just listen here and then go out there? That's why Paul said to Timothy, you see, not just being hearers of God's word, but being doers of God's word. To act upon it. Giving honor to God is respecting Him, is to follow what He says daily. Not just lip service to God. Not lip service to God. So, true worship, God wants us to find a heartfelt attitude to honor and respect towards Him. An attitude that recognizes that He is, and how gracious He has been. If we want to thank God every day as we come, in fact, that should be from our lips all the time. The moment we get up, you know, I thank God, being alive, you know. Still can sit up, can walk, can do things today. Maybe many of you will plan for a year, 2 years. I think I plan for days and 1 week at a time. Really, you know, life is, I dare not take for granted. I'm even beginning to think about interim lead pastor. How long is interim? How long can I last physically? How do you honor God here? You know, this attitude of gratefulness to God. Recognize that how gracious He has been. We serve God not with compulsion, somebody forces us to serve God. But we serve God because out of deep gratitude, what God has done for us so much. Giving back to God is the same, you know. Chinese New Year is coming. All of us, I believe that if you have a family, you will go home. Now, how many of you go home empty-handed? especially you have seniors, you have parents at home. I'm sure you'll take some goodies back home, right? I don't think your parents say, don't come home if you don't carry some gifts to me. But out of your deep gratitude, you always, you know, find something that you remember they love, you know, or they like. You always, you know, you save up or whatever you do, you know, you want to make sure that they are being honored because they are your parents, you see. That's once a year, but for Christian worship, is a daily experience, you see. You come to God, you want to honor Him, with your life, with your time, with your gifts, with your talents. That's how we honor God. Every day. We want to not only come to worship, but when we want to tell to people how great my God is, isn't it? Because you want to honor Him. Give Him the honor. So this is something that I encourage all of us to do as we enter the new year. We worship God in truth and in spirit, not just but through action. In worship, we are to focus our attention on God and to honor Him. We need to do that. Not on something else, but to Him. Our real focus is on Him. True worship also calls for true response. How do we respond to Him? There are many ways we can respond to Him, but I've learned there are three chief ways the scripture talk about we need to respond to God. Worship is costly in that sense, you know. If it costs you nothing, it means nothing to you. These words of scripture came from David when he actually wanted to thank God. He wanted to buy a piece of land and build a temple. But some kind soul, one kind soul said, you know, you can take it for free. You are the king after all. But this is what David answered, no, I insist on buying it from you for a price, for I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. You know what? Worshiping God called for a price, to pay a price to worship God. You see, cost your time at least to sit down here, and I thank God you are here this morning. Wonderful, huh? That's a good start, you see. It costs you something. So there are three things that I'd like to bring to your attention, that three biblical standards for sacrifices. How do we offer to God in response to the wonderful God that we have, that we worship? There are three things that are vital to me. Give God our best, not the blemished sacrifices. Not the leftovers in that sense, you see. Not the leftover time, not the leftover money, not the leftover energy that we have, but give Him the best. Always give Him the best. This is the first thing that I hope you will take note. Secondly, give God our first and not, not the leftover. The first one is not blemished sacrifices, things that you don't want, you give to God. The third thing I like to bring your attention to is give to God what costs us, not worthless sacrifices. Now learn to do things out of the way for God. Not just things that are convenient to you, but things that you want to do it because you love God. One of the things that I do throughout the year trying to look for people is discipling thing. Discipling is hard work. Some of you are doing that. I do a discipling thing for not more than 6 persons at a group called One-on-One with God. If you are interested, come and see me. But it costs you 26 weeks of your time. Each time we meet is 1.5 hours. But I thank God there are people willing to pay that price. And having paid that price, I discovered their life have been changed. I have one here that who gone through it quite recently. After 5 weeks, he came and said, can my wife also join? I was doing one-on-one with him, but I want to know why your wife want to come. And this person say, you know, I seen the change in my husband. After 5 weeks learning to walk with God, changing of his attitude towards her, towards the family, towards people around him, I'm sure his attitude towards God has changed. Yeah, Paying a price is important. Huh? Don't just look for things that are convenient you want to do. Huh? Going to a home group is not convenient. I know after Friday, whole day of week, after the last day of work, you like to hit home as soon as you can. But connect with your home group, huh? Because it's refreshing and it's rewarding. Huh? I hope you'll find a home group. Doing Bible study, worshiping God, it takes time again, you see. Find a fixed time, a fixed place, it doesn't matter morning or night, is not important. But it's important that you find that time and commit to it. You see? Pay a price for it and you will see change. Huh? Don't do things just when it is only convenient. You don't put price in it, you know, nothing come up good from it. Huh? If you do that, you see, your faith or your love will turn cold very fast. Huh? Don't try that on your wife or your husband. Huh? Only convenient, you know. You will look him up or call him or talk to him. But I hope you will keep your love growing. Huh? Don't take one another for granted. Don't make your life become routine to each other. I hope you will put effort to build that unit in your family. Our family is very important. I hope all of us, pastors, leaders, all members, Satan works very hard today to destroy our family. Can you imagine one of us leaders who don't work well in our family? In fact, I have no right to stand here, you know, to speak or to teach if I cannot run my family well. That's what the biblical requirement is all about. We have to first take care of our home. Huh? So I hope you will set priority, God first, your family, church, or work. I make a very big mistake when I was young, God, church, and then family. I must admit, it nearly break my family. I work crazy, you know. I am very involved, very passionate in things that I do. Even at my age, I'm very passionate what I committed to do. But watch out. Satan would like to destroy your family. Huh? Can you imagine if he destroy my family, I have no business about church work. So I think reorganize yourself. Huh? Recommit yourself to God first. And excitedly worship God on a daily basis. True worship calls for enthusiasm and excitement. Come to Him, huh, with excitement each day. Huh? Expect God to say something to you. Huh? We also keep very strict records every Sunday about the offering, about the attendance. But we are aware, actually, you know, who speaks on Sunday actually makes a lot of difference in attendance, you know. Certain people speak, you know, their attendance go down, you know. don't laugh, but that's the fact. Huh? I didn't. If you don't believe me, you know, I can look up the record and prove to you. Huh? What are we are saying is that, you say, I come here only to hear the speaker, but I don't come here to meet God. Huh? Sorry, huh? That's the truth. Huh? You can tell me whatever you want. Huh? But I want you to change your attitude to come to worship, is that you begin worshiping God not in the morning when you start, but the previous night. Start praying for the worship service. Start praying for the person who stand up here to speak. You know, that God will use him to speak to you. He may be a lousy speaker in your own judgment or whatever, you see. But I believe that God called the person to speak that Sunday. I pray that all of us will prepare to the best of our ability. But I believe God speaks every Sunday. You know, in fact, I believe God speaks every morning when I meet him. Do you come with expectant heart that, you know, Lord, this morning, speak to me, huh? And help me to respond to you each time I come to worship. At the end of each worship, we hope that we will give you a chance to respond to God, you know. Not only you hear God's word, but you need to act upon God's word. That is what worship is all about. It's not about, you know, who speaks here, you see. In fact, we should design a thing that, you know, we hide our face and you can hear only you don't see our face. So you can hear God speaking, not me. Yeah, that's not important who stand here. But more important that, you know, you come to worship, he's the one that I come to meet. He's the one that I come to meet here. So if you look back to this passage of Scripture, oh, I think that's a very... important quote that I got. Many of you like Ravi Zechariah. Here the scripture talk about verse 13. It said, the people then, they were bored with God, you know. Like many of you have been to be bored already, getting too long. Yeah. Zechariah has this to say, when man is bored with God, even heaven does not have a better alternative. So when you go to heaven, there's no better worship there either. So if you have not learned to worship God here, I think you may be a misfit in heaven, because that worship will continue to be there. Other things will stop, but worship will be there forever and ever. So the Israelites became bored with their worship of God. Their sacrifices cost them nothing. They gave as little as they could. They did their duty, nothing more. Their worship became just ritualistic, humdrum, mechanical, and just familiar. But I hope our worship is not that way. Because worship is just not about you, but it is about God. Worship is about giving our hearts to God. Do you do this each time when you come and worship Him? True worship actually shows God's favor to us. In true worship, you honor and respect Him by putting Him first and giving Him best. He will be gracious to you. Verse 9 talks about God was not pleased with them. You see, this morning is not whether you are pleased with this worship or not. But it should be the other way around, you see. Is God pleased with you? Pleased with you? God is asking us, you know, is He pleased with me as I come here to worship Him? Yeah, when you have a wonderful experience with God, you see, when God is pleased, you see, something wonderful takes place in your life, you see. He's a holy God. When we come before Him, all of us are naked before Him. There's nothing you can hide before Him. And as a result, you see, we always come and find that, you know, we are not as holy as we think. That's the reason why we come and confess our sins before Him. And thank God when we do that, you see, the Bible tells us He forgives our sin. Isn't that marvelous when you worship God? And when we come to God in our weaknesses, you see, we exchange for His power. I think that's marvelous as you worship Him. When God show acceptance to your worship, when He show favors upon you, you see, you can exchange your weakness for His strength. In worship that is pleasing to God, you see, we experience peace for our anxiety. God give us His peace and comfort. All of us are pressurized in this day and age. We come with so much anxiousness, anxiety. But when you come to worship, you learn to rest in Him. And God just grants you that type of rest you needed. We renew our purpose for our days, you know. God gives us His direction in all circumstances. When you find favor in God, when you worship Him. Yeah. That's how God works in our life. That's why we need to worship Him. Now to sum it up, how do you know actually you have truly worshiped God this morning? I'd like to quote from one pastor by the name of Rick Ezel. He said, worship is the force that helps make the day-by-day life of obedience. Worship is not for God's benefit, it is for ours. If you leave church with your faith stronger, your faith brighter, your love deeper, your sympathies broadened, your heart purer, and with your will more resolute to do the will of God, then you have truly worshipped the Lord. I hope you have this experience this morning. Because worship actually works in that way. As you leave, I pray that you live satisfied with God. And you are happy you have been here this morning. You have not wasted your time. Now, before we go, as I said, we will invite you to make some decision this morning. Now, reflection is very important. One of the things that, you know, I ask that God will teach us how to worship Him like the lowly shepherds or the highly educated wise men at the birth of Jesus Christ. the way they worship, the way they travel, they make time, you know, they make preparation long, far away, you know, they travel, but they just want to come and bow before this king and worship him with precious gifts. The lowly shepherd, they just follow the, you know, the instruction of the angels. They came and they left rejoicing. That's what worship is all about. Secondly, I pray that may God open our eyes to see his greatness. Who God is to you? It is the great and mighty God. Read the word of God and discover more and more about him. Lastly, may our Lord forbid us to offer to him, either in the pulpit or you sitting down in the pews, the leftovers of our lives. A lot of things that we don't want, then we give to God. But I challenge you this new year, maybe make a decision. Lord, forgive me of the past, wrong attitudes towards you. From today onwards, oh Lord, help me to put you first, because you are the most important person in my life. I want to honor you. I want to respect you. Let us pray. As we pause and we reflect on the words of God, I believe God is speaking to all of us. You may cut down in your heart, and you may not like the word that you have heard this morning. Or maybe even you make you angry, you know, Pastor, you are attacking me. But I pray that we will allow the Spirit of God works in our hearts. May he speak to you. And you make a decision this morning to change your lifestyle, to honor and to please him. Many of you are not Christians. We invite you to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Some of you have been Christian a long time, but you have not joined the church through baptism. Or you have already baptized, but you have been here worshiping a long time, but you have not become a committed member of this body of Christ. We invite you to come, to join the church and be part of us to serve, to worship, and to serve the Lord. I invite the worship team to come as they sing. We will feel free to come forward. I invite the pastors, the elders to come forward, stand in front of here to receive you. You come as we sing.